In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, one of the great roles that Holy Mother Church has in our life is to teach us how to speak to God, to teach us how to develop a relationship with God. And she does that especially through her liturgy. When you come to Mass, you come to a ceremony that's prepared for you. And there's prayers there, there's various rituals that take place. And you're meant to come and enter into the ceremonies to give yourself as far as possible to the prayers that are being said, to the ceremonies that are being performed, because you believe that will give you the proper disposition to have towards God. That will link you, unite you with God, and make you holy. And of course, one of the main ways that the main tools that the church uses in order to create these proper dispositions are the hymns of the church. The hundreds and hundreds of hymns that are found in the church's liturgy. These hymns are very, very beautiful. The church has a vast musical repertoire that has been created over the 20 centuries of her existence. But among them all, there are two that particularly stand out for their beauty and their pathos. Two hymns that treat of the most sorrowful subject, the subject of death. These two hymns are two sequences, two of the five sequences that survived when St. Pius V, canonized the Tridentine Missal. You know, we have the Tridentine Mass. And there used to be a lot of sequences, but he reduced all the sequences to five. And two of them, as I say, are particularly beautiful hymns, the Dies Irae and the Stabat Mater. Dies Irae is about the Last Judgment, and the Stabat Mater is about Our Lady's sorrows at the foot of the cross. Both of these hymns were composed in the 1200s, at the height of the Middle Ages. Both of them were set to music by great composers on the composer's deathbed. So, you know, Mozart was 35 and he was dying. He was composing his famous setting of the Requiem Mass. And he was writing music for the Dies Irae when he died. And then there's another composer who was extremely talented, less known than Mozart, Giovanni Battista Pergolesi. So Pergolesi, he was 26, he had tuberculosis, and he had just finished composing music, a very famous setting for the Stabat Mater, when he died. Both of these Latin hymns were lost to the church with the coming of the Novus Ordo, because one of the sacrifices the Novus Ordo had to make in going from Latin to the vernacular was this huge corpus of Latin hymns that had been built up over the centuries of the church. What an incredible sacrifice to make for supposed advantage of drawing closer to men in your liturgy. We are blessed when we hold on to the traditional Mass, to also to be able to hold on to these wonderful hymns that Catholics throughout the centuries have nourished their souls on. I think that we're more familiar with the Stabat Mater than we are with the Dies Irae because of the fact that we pray the Stations of the Cross during Lent. And of course, we take the Stabat Mater and we sing the Stabat Mater when we do the 14 Stations of the Cross. So the Stabat Mater was written by a Franciscan friar. And you know that the Franciscans had a great devotion to the Passion of Our Lord and to the Stations of the Cross. After all, their founder, St. Francis of Assisi, received the stigmata. He received the very wounds of Our Lord in his hands and his feet and his side. In fact, on Tuesday, we have the Feast of the Stigmata of St. Francis of Assisi. So this event in the history of the Church was considered to be so important that the Church actually gives a feast to St. Francis' reception of the wounds of Our Lord. So as I say, because of this marking of the founder of the Franciscans with the wounds of our Lord. The Franciscans have always had a great devotion to the Passion. And there was this monk, less than 100 years after the death of St. Francis, a monk by the name of Jacopone da Todi. He composed the Stabat Mater. And this hymn has been so influential. It's been seen to be so beautiful, so sublime, that over 300 composers have made music, have set music to these words of the Stabat Mater. Let's just talk a little bit about this hymn so that we can appreciate it, and also, as I say, we can be formed by the liturgy that's given to us. We recognize Holy Mother Church is placing this hymn before us so that we can enter into the sentiments of the hymn. The Church is saying to us, this hymn is good for you to say it, for you to want to have the sentiments of what it is saying. So the hymn has 20 stanzas of 3 lines apiece. And the first 4 stanzas tell the story. They just set the scene by saying what's going on. The next 4 stanzas, they make an appeal to us, the ones who are listening to the hymn, or perhaps the ones who are singing the hymn. They make an appeal to us to have sympathy for this mother who is standing at the foot of the cross of her dying son. Then the poet, the singer, turns to address Our Lady for 10 stanzas. There's 10 stanzas where he's speaking to Our Lady, and he's asking Our Lady for various things. And then finally, the last 2 stanzas are addressed to Our Lord. He speaks to Our Lord, and he asks Our Lord that he may go to heaven, that he may receive salvation. So I would like to focus especially on the 10 stanzas that you find in the middle of the hymn where we make this appeal to Our Lady. First, though, I have to recall the scene, as Jacopone does at the beginning of the hymn. Let us recall what's happening in this scene. Of course, you have this incredible scene where a mother is witnessing the execution of her son, who is completely innocent and has done nothing whatsoever wrong. And this mother is extremely brave. You find this word stabat all over the Mass. It was in the introit of the Mass. It's in the St. John, in his recounting of the story, he says that Our Lady was standing, and this is the very first word of the hymn itself. There's this focus on the fact that Our Lady is standing at the foot of the cross. She's not in a crumpled heap at the foot of the cross. She's not hysterical. She's not railing. She's not in a state of rage. She's also not in a state of meltdown where she's just out of her mind with sorrow. So she's noble. She's brave in standing there and witnessing the death of her son, the terrible death of her son. So she has a great strength, but at the same time, as the hymn emphasizes, she's in a state of extreme sorrow. She is strong, but she's extremely sorrowful in witnessing the death of her son. This is what the second stanza of the hymn points out, that it's at this moment that the prophecy of Simeon mentioned in the collect is fulfilled, where this sword pierces her soul. The second stanza says, Cuius animam gementem contristatum et dolentem per transivi gladius. Through her heart, his sorrow sharing, all his bitter anguish bearing, now at length the sword is passed. Now at length that sword that was predicted has passed through her heart, witnessing the death of her son, the execution of her son. This is the scene that we are so familiar with. And we ask ourselves, what is supposed to be my reaction to the scene? What is supposed to be my sentiments on encountering the scene? Well, the hymn is going to help us have the proper dispositions. We are supposed to put ourselves in that scene. We are supposed to walk up to the cross where Our Lady is, and Mary Magdalene and Mary Cleophas stand there with them, We know that the one who is dying on the cross is not unrelated to us. He is our God. He is our Redeemer. He's dying for our sins so that we can go to heaven. So this is not something, some random person, but it's our Redeemer. And the woman who is there is also not related to us. She is the mother of our salvation. She's the one who's been chosen by God to be the means by which we are to be saved. And so there's this really explicit reason for us to unite ourselves with what is going on. So the Stabat Mater gives us very beautiful sentiments, very Catholic sentiments when we walk up to the cross. Especially, as I say, in those 10 stanzas where we speak to Our Lady. What do we want to happen? What do we want to happen when we're there standing at the cross with Our Lady? Well, we want to suffer with Our Lady. If we truly love them, if we are truly moved by this scene, the best thing that we can do is suffer with them. And this is what the Stabat Mater is asking over and over and over again to Our Lady. Help me suffer with you. I just want to give you 4 of those 10 stanzas. And you will see these incredible requests that we just made at the Mass. The sequence was just read. That we've been making during our entire Catholic life. When as often as we prayed the stations, we've been making these requests of Our Lady. Holy Mother, pierce me through. In my heart, each wound renew of my Savior crucified. Let me share with thee his pain, who for all my sins was slain, who for me in torments died. Let me mingle tears with thee, mourning him who mourned for me, all the days that I may live. By the cross with thee to stay, there with thee to weep and pray, is all I ask of thee to give. We ask her to take the wounds of our Lord and renew them in our own heart. Place those wounds of our Lord in my own heart. Let me share your pain. Let me share your tears. Let me have just a sense of what you're going through, of the sorrow that you're experiencing. I want to suffer with you. I want to weep with you. I want to pray with you. These are the most perfect dispositions of the soul in approaching the cross. And the Stabat Mater, as I say, insistently, repeatedly, through 10 stanzas, has us ask Our Lady to give that to us. It's so beautiful, these dispositions, the authentic dispositions of the Christian soul and its relationship with our Lord and our Lady. To want to experience the same things that our Lord and our Lady experience, to taste their sufferings. So, my dear faithful, on this feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, let us allow ourselves to be moved by the liturgy, to be formed by the liturgy. This hymn that has been part of our Catholic ethos for 700 years now, and which we hold on to and which we treasure, is meant to have an impact upon us. It's meant to teach us, as they say, the dispositions that we're meant to have. So let us pay attention to what we are praying and put our heart into our prayers, to be docile to Holy Mother Church, to allow her to place in our hearts the dispositions that we have towards God, towards our Lord. We should try to have that great love for our Lord and our Lady that these prayers express. What a beautiful thing that would be for our soul if our requests were answered. If we were given this grace to have some taste of the sufferings of our Lord and our Lady through praying the Stabat Mater. And of course, we should want our love to be expressed in our actions as well, that it not just be empty words, but that, of course, that when sufferings come to us in our lives, because we all have sufferings in our lives, but not on the same scale as those of our Lord and our Lady, but we all have crosses, but but that we would want to bear our crosses in the same way that our Lord and our Lady bore their literal cross. So that in the end, by our union with our Lord's passion on earth, we may receive the fruits of that passion after we die, which is eternal happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.